that's basically discuss chapter 71 of, or chapter 171 of the airport zoning regulations. And what this entails is the new regulations regarding the 20,000 feet from the end of the runway on Carroll Airport. And we'll wait for Carl to come in and kind of discuss what we want to do forward from here on to address this issue. At this point, we have not heard anything from FAA as far as the letter that we had sent to them for them to come out and take a look at what's going on. This has been an issue that was an ordinance that was drafted in 1978, and there have been changes made since that time, but we need to come to a solution to clarify things of what's going on in county zoning with this. So with that, Carl, do you have anything that you'd like to add as far as this new regulation?
As far as new regulation, I guess I need a process. If I have to do this kind of evaluation out 20,000 feet, I need the cooperation from both cities. We got a 2-mile area out there that wasn't there in the original back in 78. There's issues that need to be resolved. I need you guys' direction on how to handle the process.
Well, I'm visiting with Carl. This started quite a while ago. The issues that I see is that we have to make decisions upon people asking us for a request for a building permit. The reason we sent the letter to the city of Glidden and to the city of Carroll is we felt that 20,000 feet does jump into their city, and essentially we are the authorizing agency, and therefore we need to make sure that everybody has signed off to make sure that there's no mistakes. Well, that process has been interesting. We've had some that are 8-10 days delayed before we have answers. We've had some that have been 2 weeks before answers. I understand this is not a full-time position and there's no full-time person there, but before the letter that we received that was a year in arrears, that's the one that has the biggest concern to me, is because we had exactly almost 1 year of exposure for lawsuits that we didn't even know about. And that is a recipe for failure. And I guess my point today of bringing this up for discussion is, and I want to find out where the board wants to head with this. I know we could probably get a temporary fix, but I think it'd be temporary at best. In 6 months, we could be revisiting this issue again because of the delays. If we wouldn't send emails back, I'm not sure we even had the answers on a couple of those that we had going on. Turned out they were not a big deal, but there again, we have to put our stamp on it, and we are dealing with the city. We can get a relationship going there. The airport board is a whole different critter. I talked to Michael about it. I said, well, it's part of your process. And he says, no, it's not. They run their own separate entity. I said, but you appoint them. So we have no control over them. And I don't want to control them. I don't really know quicker answers. That's our biggest problem is, like I said, we're set up for failure. And we may have one right now that's pending in court. And I sure don't want another one. And I think we owe it to all the taxpayers not to let that happen again. I guess my question to the board is, do we pursue trying to somehow to make a change? Do we just step forward and say, you know what, this ordinance is old, it's unacceptable anymore, and we dissolve it? And Carl has come, and this is just all in thought, is that we let the city of Glidden handle their own, which that's probably the way they should do it. We let the city of Carroll handle their own, and we let the airport commission handle it too. But does not tie us anything. When someone comes to us with a building permit, we want to stamp it and says that you're approved by the county, but there will be other agencies you need to contact, and then we're done with it. Because we have contractors that have been hounding Carl. Getting a contractor to build a home today is you get in the waiting list. And he comes to you tomorrow and says, I want to start Wednesday. He doesn't want to start 45 days from now when we might get an opinion. That is, it just creates Carl a lot of headaches, of phone calls, complaints. What's taking so long? We've even got letters from the supervisor side. Why is this so slow? Why is this not being done? And like I said, we have no control over any of this. If we had control over it, we'd fix it. That's why I am kind of recommending that we go our separate ways and let them do whatever they need to do. I just want to get this out on the board and let you guys kick it around and see what you think. I don't know what the right answer is. I think if we try talking it out, we're going to fail. And if we continue like we are, I know we're going to fail. So
I guess that's where I'm at. From a board of supervisors and the county taxpayers, this is a liability for us, and why do we want to take it on?
Well,
we've got a precedent started here already.
I call them the contractors. It's a long waiting time. You know, they didn't have the best winter to work through, and they want to get things going in the spring. And that one that wanted to build a house was calling me. And I don't know, maybe Greg, you can answer that. Apparently, the person who's giving approvals or not giving approvals. I'm glad that you're here.
Well, let's talk about the regulation first. Marty, you referred to it as an ordinance. Mm-hmm. No. And we've had numerous discussions with the FAA over the enforcement of that regulation. Our last meeting with the FAA occurred face-to-face in late April in Des Moines with the personnel from the FAA actually in charge of the Carroll Airport. There are two of those people. However, we did meet, we had two separate long meetings with the FAA. One was with five people from Kansas City with the FAA, another with four. We were not even aware of the existence of that regulation. It was passed in 2010 or 20 and went into effect in 2011, I believe. Now, when we got that notification from the FAA, we didn't approach it with the seriousness that they later directed us to. And that's why there was no notification of that, because we wanted to get it straight what this thing meant. And we think we were notified with that as a direct response to the Danner Grain Lake, because the FAA that we deal with has been very upset about the fact that the Danner Grain Lake was put up in 2013 and remains the subject of ongoing litigation here practically 5 years later, and is still there. And they want it. They want that problem removed.
Greg, question for you is,
yes.
Why did FAA sign off on a letter and give it to Lauren if they had a problem with it?
FAA is very clear about the constraints of that letter. That was issued by the in-route navigation branch of the FAA, and I point out in the page of that letter towards the bottom, you'll read that this letter is issued, but it still requires compliance. Everybody forgets this. It still requires compliance with all local zoning regulations and ordinances. The compliance with local regulations and zoning ordinances was ignored by Mr. Danny.
And I don't think we really need to rehash all that. I mean, that's in litigation, and I think we need to move forward. What we're asking is, you know, why are we being burdened with this when it's really not our issue? It's really the commission's issue in the city of Carroll or the city of Glidden. Those are the issues. I mean, I think Marty's right. I don't think we should bear the responsibility or the liability of this.
Well, let me tell you what we were told at our meeting in April by the FAA. And it was made very clear to us, first of all, that we're to enforce this, no exceptions. And the engineer from the FAA, I remember this as clear as if it happened yesterday, raised his left hand, pointed his finger, and he said, "I remind you, this is called a federal regulation." He went on to say, "I remind you, this is federal law, and we want it enforced."
And that's fine, Greg. I don't think we have any problem with that, but, you know, who's going to do this?
You're just stating the exact problem. We had a meeting with FAA. Did we know about it? Did you know about it?
I mean, we're the enforcers of this,
actually. I didn't know anything about it. Why wouldn't we have known about it?
Why wouldn't we involved?
So that's why I say the whole thing is set up for failure. We can't win.
Well, we argued that if the current county zoning ordinance is enforced, we feel so that we are notified if... as to the construction of anything greater than a height of 30 feet, there won't be a problem. We went on to explain that the topography of the Carroll Airport is unique. When the airport was constructed during the 1940s and the land was purchased during World War II, that area was a very low-lying area between Carroll and Glidden. It was considered at the time, I believe, to be marshland. It was very wet, and we still... on the airport commission deal with moisture problems at the airport. And you, and several of you may remember, we had flooding one time in the spring that completely covered everything out there except for the terminal building. I mean, we had water 2 or 3 inches deep in all the hangars. And then again, in the great flood of whatever year it was, 2009 in July. I've got a mark in the inside of my hangar where the water level was approximately that high, because if I didn't mark it, nobody'd ever believe it later. That's how bad the airport topography is. We know that we are approximately 100 feet lower than the area we're sitting on right now that the Carroll County Courthouse sits on. The city of Carroll is at least 100 foot higher, except in places it's higher than that. We wanted the FAA to give us a exception that we could better work with. We're aware of the problems that it presents to the city of Carroll and the county of Carroll, and we were told no exceptions.
Great. So you were told you want to be the enforcing agent.
They didn't say that. They just said there's no exceptions to that rule. We just brought the problem to them. I'm just saying this will be difficult to enforce. I don't know what the FAA told you.
Do you get notice of any permits in Carroll or Glidden that are over 30 foot tall?
I have been issued what is called a courtesy notification.
From the city of Carroll and the city of Glidden?
No, from the county.
And the county does not get permits from the city of Glidden or the city of Carroll.
So there's things being built in the city that you don't know about then, too.
Okay,
that's what you're saying.
I'm not in charge of city zoning. We're not in charge of anything other than the airport.
This is
the root of the problem right here.
Is that how can I do the enforcement that's called for in the ordinance if I don't get notice prior to construction in the city of Glidden or the city of Carroll. And the city of Glidden, since we sent the letter, has sent me their applications prior to their approval. I have not received any from the city of Carroll.
So we have to make a decision on unknown FAA rules, and we don't know if they're even building anything. So that's why I said it has failure written all over it. So why would I want to continue any liability of any kind with an organization that we can't function with? I don't get it.
Well, if you're referring to the city of Carroll, I'll let you direct that to the city of Carroll. I'm here as a representative of the Carroll Airport Commission with the commission chairman. We don't want to be in the position of having to deal with this either. However, we've been apparently put in that position.
You make the decision when we take over the liability. That's what I see going on as a problem.
Well, I'm not so sure I agree with that totally, Rich. We've been told by the FAA, first of all, we're required, well, let me go back. We're an enhanced service airport. We're a regional airport. We're one of four regional airports in western Iowa, along with the two commercial airports, Sioux City and Fort Dodge. But Spencer, Carroll, Ames, and Council Bluffs have been designated regional airports. Now, what this means is we've received massive amounts of federal funding to build the airport that we have out there. Now, having said that, okay, the FAA tells us that the biggest problem that they are dealing with is tall structures erected that interfere around airports with airport operations. And the second biggest problem they deal with is airport structures that are structures around airports that are erected in violation of local ordinances. And that's they're in the Danner Drain Lake case. Now, this regulation is not for the Carroll. This federal law is not just for the Carroll Airport. It's all over. It's been passed all over the country simply because this is a huge problem for the FAA. And it's resulted in litigation, not just here in Carroll County, but in various other other jurisdictions.
So as I understand some of the recent permits that have been issued, the final determination was made by you on whether those...
Actually not by me, by the Airport Commission.
So, I mean, that's where we're at right now.
I understand that. I wrote the letter, but I didn't make the decision. On every single one of those permits that's issued, I confer with Mr. Hutchinson and other members of the airport board.
So maybe that's
this is an issue too. In that process, really not in the ordinance. I mean, that's if, you know, whether that needs to be clarified. Amended or something so that we have my basic concern is making sure our bases are covered as the county and that I've got a process that is workable. And again, that review process really isn't even in the ordinance.
That review process, I agree, is not in the ordinance.
I mean, the Board of Adjustment piece of it is, but just as a routine...
The procedure.
Yeah.
So if we're going to that extent right now, so that we can issue these permits, why don't we continue down that same avenue that you are responsible for these permits? That you go through that process, the city and the commission. It's your thing.
The way it looks to us is
right?
Well, to me, it looks like we should just stamp ours that says it meets our approval, and right on the stamp it says this needs to be reviewed by the Airport Commission. Fine.
That's good.
We're done with it. And then the city can do the same with theirs. That would that be a fair assessment, Michael? I know I've put words in your mouth, but...
Well, what I would say, and I would echo what Carl just said, I think you need to have a good process that lays it out. The other component is, you know, Iowa Code 329 requires jurisdictions to have airport zoning. You know, it's not a optional choice by cities or counties. But I do think we're also mixing what is this new regulation with airport zoning. You know, it is a regulation previously before it was amended. You were required to get a permit from the FAA anytime you wanted to have a structure taller than 200 feet. And that actually remains unchanged today. This regulation added the burden, I use that word very pointedly, it added the burden that property owners had to seek a permit if you were within 20,000 feet and met that 101 slope requirement. That didn't say that you wouldn't get the permit, but you have to go through a permitting process. And that's similar to permitting processes like the Corps of Engineer has on wetland mitigation. It's similar to DOT if you want a driveway permit. And those aren't necessarily locally controlled, but we want to be good stewards to our property owners and guide them correctly. You know, so I do think there's two different issues. There's airport zoning, which state law requires us to have in place. It sets out the regulation. It doesn't talk about the 20,000 foot requirement. That's a regulation that you have to seek a permit from the FAA, and I think we want to be very clear and make sure that those property owners know that that's what they have to do. So I agree with you, you know, stamping it to say you need to go get this federal permit, but that's not even a city, county, it's not a locally controlled item. It's something you have to go through with the FAA. Do I think we need to clean up the airport zoning? Yeah, I think, you know, it's been in place with the county since 1978. I was one back then. Hate to admit that. It needs to be reviewed. I mean, it certainly has. And the cities, to the city's point, too, we amended our zoning ordinance, airport zoning ordinance, a number of years ago. So ours look completely different today. Because when we recodified the code 5 to 10 years ago, we completely rewrote the airport zoning. I wasn't here for that, but it's a different airport zoning. So, I think it's prudent. I have suggested to a couple of commissioners that I think the group should be brought together and really look at this. I think we need to have a conversation. Conversations are good. But I think, we're supportive of making sure we have a good process, that everyone's on the same playing field, because, these do have real impacts. Back in the day, when I worked for the city of Ankeny, one of my jobs was airport zoning. And our airport zoning affected part of Polk County and part of Altoona and part of Des Moines. So it took a lot of partnerships and discussions to have those conversations and an understanding who was going to be the authority and what the review criteria is and should be.
I think at this point, I think we need to have that meeting. I think Carl needs to be there, somebody from the city of Carroll, somebody from the city of Glidden, a supervisor, and somebody from the airport commission, and John Worden, and redraft that ordinance and get everything clarified so we're all on the same page.
Get a process established.
I agree.
Greg, do you have any suggestions? You seem to be taking a lot of heat on this. Do you have any suggestions?
Well, first of all, I want everybody to understand, this is different than a zoning ordinance, this federal regulation. This is federal law, as are the other provisions of the federal regulations. Now, whatever we do, and we're very happy to sit down and work this out, we still have to conform. Whatever we do still has to conform to those federal regulations. Because we were told that, and I was about to add this earlier, we were told that if we didn't institute the Danner Drain Lake litigation, for example, that we would have been not only... we jeopardizing all future grants at the Carroll Airport, but that they would be looking back. They didn't commit themselves to a certain time towards reimbursement of previous federal grants. It's that serious for us.
Seems contradictory to a letter I have from the FAA that says it's okay doesn't cause us any problems, but still, as you acutely said, needs to meet zoning regulations.
I'm sorry.
The FAA has issued a letter saying that the Grand Atlantic is okay with them, that this, they are not in charge of local zoning regulations, which is in violation of.
We asked that specifically. That's a different branch. That's the En Route Air Navigation branch of the FAA. And they said, well, we've increased the instrument landing minimums out there. And as a result, we consider the Danner Grain Lake not to be hazardous to en route navigation after we made the changes, which actually lessened the navigation value of the Carroll Airport, I want you to know. Now, that's not the same thing as the branch of the FAA that deals specifically with airports and airport protection plans. The branch of the FAA that we deal with is that branch. Because we brought up that dichotomy to them. How does this happen that they even issued a letter to Mr. Danner when the person that issued it never has been to Carroll, never called us, never talked about the topographical issues out here?
Question is,
yes, sir.
This is an FAA regulation, and you've been signing off on it on behalf of the Airport Commission. Do you have the authority to do that?
With the FAA?
Yeah.
The answer to that is... we've been told to enforce it, so I guess I would have to answer that to say yes.
Right. Kind of looking to see who's supposed to sign off for the FAA, and you've been doing it. You said you did on behalf of the Airport Commission. I'm wondering if we have the, you know, if you have the authority to do that, or...
Yeah, I agree, Neil. It goes back to why are we reviewing it if they all would require...
That's why I like...
Sign up.
That's why I like.
I think it goes back to whether, you know, can we just say when we get an application in this zone that we stamp it saying you got our approval for our county zoning ordinance, but you need to go to the airport for approval from the Airport Commission for their airport zoning.
We got to have rules in the airport.
I think you must do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want to have those rules.
Well, I agree. I agree that we've got to have a process.
But I am, like I said, I'm just afraid that, and you refer to a lot of the meetings with the FAA and a lot of notifications from the FAA, we are just sitting in the dark out here, and we have to do this. And that is just not a good position to be
and
in.
We don't know what's going on.
We have no idea what's going on. When these changes happen, and I know they can't notify everybody. It's like a law change, you know, in a speed limit. You know, they change it to 35. Well, I was driving 45 because it was that way 2 weeks ago. Well, I should have figured it out in the paper. I should have read the signs.
Well, Craig, explain to me again why we got that letter a year after it was issued to you.
Because we were in negotiations with the FAA about the enforcement of that letter. And we finally got a total understanding, or at least a response from them, in April when we had our meeting with them in Des Moines. Because
but you can see where we're coming from. We was in a dark all the while.
Please see where we're coming from. No, because I looked at that and I thought, wait a minute. We've got our county zoning ordinances in place that work. Why is this additional burden being applied to this thing?
I think, Carl and Rich, we got to do what you say you're doing. Put a stamp on there that says it meets county regulations as far as zoning, but you have to pass the airport. Then there's no way you can approve what they do.
But we have, like I said, Neil, we have no control over them, and I don't want any control over them.
Right. So my suggestion would be to do exactly that. To if someone applies for a zoning or a building permit, if they meet county regulations, say yes they do. However, handing it over to the airport, they have the responsibility of proving, disproving, working with you, servicing you as we.
As I talked to our.
I don't think we should say they've approved it because they haven't been giving us any information. That's been well documented. They need to take the responsibility as well as the authority.
Yeah, there's some real gray area there, I think.
Well, don't you think so? Well, don't you think so that the responsibility should be with authority?
The local ordinance requires the county to notify us if anything over 30 feet tall is being constructed in Carroll County.
We keep going back to that, but again, you're ignoring the whole 2 miles of Carroll and Glidden because they don't have that in their ordinance. They don't notify you of the same thing. It's just because the county has that in there that you keep bringing it up. But you're ignoring the bulk of your impact area.
There's a piece of property right here in the corporate city limits that won't make it.
Yes, but there is a law, and I'm an old pilot, and I speak in generalities. The pilot rule says when you come to a community, you must be at least, 500 feet above the community as you fly over the top of it. You
thousand,
can come
1,000
feet over the top of a community. So that here we are sitting in Carroll. You can't run over the top of your house or top of Main Street 50 feet above the ground. You're supposed to be 1,000 feet above the so-called community, which takes in Carroll, takes in Glidden.
So would that exempt them from having to have those permits reviewed?
Yes, basically it does, in my humble estimation. The city of Carroll and the city of Glidden, unless they're going to put a tower up, which they're doing at Glidden. We just got the okay from Verizon or someone put a tower up. But you can understand if you're flying along, and especially if you're a young pilot, in every airport that you know of, within 3 miles of the airport, you're looking down and say, well, there's the runway, and you know that the traffic pattern, so to speak, just like driving down a highway, you have common rule. Well, you don't expect to be coming down and looking, there's the airport, and all of a sudden look out in front of you, and there's a tower sitting out in front of you. Now, a 20-foot building, that's a little bit different, and I don't know where the rules is, but it's just normal procedures that you wouldn't build anything of any height within the landing pattern of the airport. But the community has the rules that, or the flying rules is that 1,000 feet over a community.
But I think you got to put it in a zoning ordinance because all you're doing is creating another gray area. Mm-hmm. And Mike is agreeing with me. I see him shaking his head.
Let me ask you this question. Have you ever seen a utility permit come across your desk to set a pole?
Never.
Some of them are 90 foot tall. Do you know that?
I know that some of them, when I go out in Northeast Carroll.
Right out here with a substation.
I think these poles are far higher than the height of any proposed residential structure.
Where do they fall in?
Well, I dropped that off at your office, Carl. Did you? I assume you got that. I had it.
No, I didn't see anything about utility poles.
Well, no, but did you read that 14 CFR Code of Federal Regulations 77-9-E about the exception?
Yeah.
That was
and how am I supposed to evaluate that without evaluating each permit?
Yeah, I don't have the answer to that. I just wanted
that's,
you to
again,
be...
Again, that's back to my dilemma. I need to see each permit if I'm going to evaluate it, even if it is... And what he's referring to is that we had a grain bin out here for Renzi, and the response we got back from the FAA was it was protected from the airport already by another structure, which was a grain bin sitting right next to it, or it could be a hill that's already protected, as I understand it. But I still have to evaluate each permit. I looked into GIS software to look at the 3D analyst, which would cost the county $2,500 up front and $500 a year just to do that kind of evaluation of where the slope meets the contours. But then again, always have that variable of how tall the structure is going to be.
Well, let's talk about that, because already with it, like for example with the courthouse, I don't know how tall the communication tower is out here by just on the east side of the courthouse.
180 feet.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Now that would surely blanket everything to the within a wide area of the rest of Carroll, just as those utility posts out in the Northeast Edition would blanket that entire area. So one thing that we've talked about, and we haven't gotten to how we're going to do it, is to you might say, use the word declare an exemption for that whole portion of Carroll because the utility poles out there that are already exist now, are far higher.
The only problem with it, Greg, is that 101 slope changes every 100 feet.
Yes.
And so, you know, that the combination of your contour, your structure, and that changing slope, I thought about the same thing. I did an evaluation of the courthouse itself, and it wouldn't have been above the 100 to one slope. The tower would, the water tower would. But again, that all changes as you go, and the only way to realistically evaluate, I wouldn't have guessed this grain bin out here by Swan Lake would have been in that 100 to 1.
You're talking about the burn rinse?
Yeah, burn rinse.
Well, the 100 to 1 didn't even hit the grain bin. It hit the ground. It hit the
and
ground.
So I don't know that unless I do an evaluation of each permit.
Well, I think that one of the things that we could do is simply determine certain areas that because of the existence of it, existing structures are largely exempt from the need to apply for a permit.
I've been looking at that, and I agree.
But
it comes back again to, I don't get permits from the city of Carroll, I don't get them from the city, well, like, the city of Glidden has sent me there since I sent out that notice, but...
No, that's a different issue that I can address, because we're essentially just a branch of city government. We have a lot of autonomy, but we aren't the decision maker for the city.
Right. And I'm just saying that unless I've got a different process, I agree with Rich, we're just set up to
fail.
We're hanging out there.
Yeah. We just received a letter this past week that electric company, MidAmerican, they're going to elongate every wind turbine out there by 30 or 40 feet more on there, which put them 30, and they want an okay for over 100 towers that reach from here to Breeder or wherever. And over the years, Greg and I have signed off on how many wind towers. I don't remember, 5 or 6 we wouldn't let them build because they were in the final path of the airport, even though they were out beyond New Hope and way out in that area. But I even signed off on some down by Manning and Manila. I could never figure that out either. But that's, you know, we got the request to do that.
Well, that's because our policy is to refer all the towers to you.
Yeah, but I mean Manning and Manila, that's not even in our county. But we still got to ask if it was okay to build them. But it's just one of those things that it just needs a little clarification on ordinances that you get it. Send it to us, or you get it, send it to Michael, and he sends it to us, but it has to be a procedure same way with Glidden. Glidden's a separate community. And
absolutely. And they should do their own business.
Yeah, that's exactly
we don't want to get in theirs at all. We don't want in the cities at all.
That's right.
One thing that happens is when we're talking about MidAmerica, Verizon, U.S. Cellular, they already know the system. They write to us.
If they were naive enough to get in that business, they deserve
no. But I mean, they come with the federal permit before they even talk to us. Generally, they know the process. They're not the problem. When they built the addition to Iowa Corn Processors over there, I think that large construction company, I can't think of their name, that does elevator construction, they already knew what they had to do. Before it was ever done.
And part of that's because when they contact me, I say you have to go to the airport commission, even if you're not in the protected airspace.
No, what I'm referring to is they already come to us, right. Like Verizon. They've got to sign off on the FAA beforehand.
I would be hesitant, as Norm suggested, to say that the 1,000 feet exemption is not important, Carol. Because in the regulation when they talk about these different zones, which is different, it's considered to be only in the zone with the most restrictive height.
Okay, but Norm was referring to something completely different.
Yeah, he was saying that you need to fly 1,000 feet over. But I'm saying I don't think that anything in Carroll should be exempt when they're. It says right in the regulations that they're the most restrictive zone does apply if they're in more than one zone. So I'd be. I'm not going to argue any further than that, other than state that the most restrictive case does apply if it's in more than one zone.
And that led us to the piece north of Farner, actually. I asked Carl about this when we were visiting about something else, and I posed that question to him, and it kind of fits two different rules. At 35 feet, you're out of compliance.
No, at 35 feet, you're required to...
Require to
contact FAA prior to...
FAA. Now, they can say no.
Okay, wait a minute. You're saying 35 feet tall?
From the top of the highest point out there at Ashwood.
At that location,
which is across from the Animal Rescue League.
You'd be required, according to the 1-to-100 rule, to contact FAA prior to construction.
Now, if that's in the glide path.
It is also in the protected zone and probably the last outer ring of the conical. Mm-hmm. So it would still require approval. Probably would not be a problem there unless you would put up a tower.
Which that's what we were discussing at that time. And so that blew that up. We didn't even pursue that. But I tell you what, we visited with our attorney last week, and his recommendation is that we break the ordinance, give you 6 months, a year. We'll stamp it. We'll do whatever we can to pass the information off on. After that, everybody's on their own. That's kind of the gist of it. I don't like to do that, but like I said, I have 21,000 taxpayers that I think I need to protect.
Well, we would simply request that you refer your attorney to the Iowa Code, and specifically, I think it's Chapter 337 of the Iowa Code, Airport Zoning Ordinances. Require a city and county to have one.
Have an ordinance? To have a joint ordinance?
329, yeah.
Joint ordinance will be that one of you two are the enforcing agent, not us. Because that's negotiable. So, I mean, that's where we're at.
Whatever the law says.
It sounds reasonable, but I don't know that right now we have the authority to do that since we're appointed by the city council, but whatever works.
I mean, like I said, I don't want in your business. I don't want in the city's business. I don't want in Glidden's. But I have 21,000 people. I don't want another lawsuit.
Well, here's what we're willing to do. We're certainly willing to, the suggestion was made that we all sit down and work something out here and get an understanding. We're certainly willing to do that. Not a problem.
Well, I think that's what needs to happen.
Yeah, I agree.
We're not making any threats by any means. But I think we need to sit down and have that discussion and work something out that's compatible for everybody, you know, so that we can move forward without any issues.
And I think that needs to happen in pretty short order.
Yeah.
We're certainly willing to do that because we don't want more trouble than we already have with the FAA over another dam or drain lake.
And we don't either.
And Greg's running out of paper.
So where do we go from here? You know, put a committee together.
And we'll go from there.
I guess, Michael, while you're here, can we, I guess, do a request? You want to have your mayor... Who else are you thinking? Your mayor?
Mayor and a council member.
A council member.
I would say
yourself and your city attorney. Okay.
Oh, yeah, we need to get it too big.
Well, I know, but I think you need a good representation.
And I don't know if we need to have the city attorney day one.
That's fine.
I think the mayor, council member, a couple commissioners, chair, commissioner.
There's no quorums.
What?
No quorums. Please.
Someone from the airport commission or two.
Yeah, I think, absolutely, I think they should be. People from Glidden, just so they're in the loop, what's going on. But there are two senators.
Right, the city clerk and one council person.
Okay. And I think GLID will be a little, I mean, I think, yes, let's have their involvement. I think more the merrier.
But their effect is so minute.
They're not technically in the area that would be part of the technical airport zone.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, they are.
Well, and they've got the two-mile area, too.
They are within the 20,000 feet area.
They are within the conical area.
Are they in the conical area?
The western edge of Glidden is.
Then I'm correct.
And then again, they've got the two-mile area. We only have 2 miles between Carroll and Glidden.
Yeah, because you remember, Carl, that we dealt with that with the Iowa Corn Processor with the construction of their addition. And I might add that Litterdale also has some involvement. Simply,
it doesn't. Their city limits don't hit the 20,000 feet.
No, they don't. No, they don't. But we did deal with the city of Litterdale over the. At that time, it was the new co-op construction of their feed mill, and their new feed mill construction did not exceed the height of their existing elevator facility because the feed mill was built to the northeast. I can't remember. As I remember, that was at the request of the FAA.
Since it's about, just curiosity, since it's outside the 20,000 feet even?
It is outside the 20,000 feet.
What regulation required them
the airport? I cannot remember, but I think we were asked to look at it simply by the FAA was out here and just wanted to know about it.
Is that a consideration that the committee can take up?
That would be, because I thought the thing to probably do, and I've already talked to Suzanne Danner about this, the city clerk in Glidden, about the adoption I said it looks to me like one of the things we could put on the table would be a revision to the county and the city airport ordinance. And then we'd like to bring Glidden into that mix since they've got three or four structures over there that would be considered tall structures under the 20,000-foot requirement. And she indicated that that wouldn't be a problem, that they would be happy to work with us.
Well, I think we should have a formal committee, too. And I think this committee should be acutely aware of the fact that the authority and responsibility need to be in the same park. I don't think we need to take responsibility for authority they have.
They've got to be together.
Share responsibilities.
We certainly agree that a procedure in place to make this all work would be called for. And we're happy to be on a committee. We're happy to cooperate. We think it needs to happen.
Okay, that will move forward, putting the committee together.
We'll issue a letter.
Certainly.
See if we can find a date and pick something out in the future.
Yeah, we'd be very happy to oblige. So we need to get this worked out.
Anything else?
No, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for hearing us out this morning.
Thanks for coming.